We are back on the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson alongside Cincinnati Inquirer beat writer Tyler Dragon, our guy Charlie Goldsmith. You'll see all of their work up on Cincinnati.com. How you guys doing?
I'm doing okay given the circumstances. How are you all doing?
I'm doing fine. It's been an important day, one that feels almost as seismic as the day sports shut down because of the coronavirus.
Yeah, that's actually a good point, Charlie, because if you get on social media in the last 24 hours, again, we were recording this on Wednesday night. You know, we know what's happening in the world over the last couple months and even longer than that. But we're starting to see athletes speak up. We were at training camp this afternoon on Wednesday afternoon. And, you know, you look at the NBA games and they're postponed right now. The Bucks were the first to step up and say, you know, we want to postpone this game, and they go into their locker room, and the Orlando Magic, they go into their locker room. And we saw it locally, the Cincinnati Reds, they were going to take on the Milwaukee Brewers on Wednesday night, and both clubs decided to postpone that game. So it's been a crazy 24 hours, but again, we're starting to see these athletes around the world, around the United States, speak up, use their platform, call for change. And I'm always a huge fan of them being able to do it because you see these athletes because they know who's watching them. There are people via social media, on television, they're role models, and they are seeing what these athletes are talking about, speaking about, and they want to change. And we hope that this conversation continues. We don't want to see the bad stuff on the news anymore. We don't want to hear the bad stuff that's going on in the world. We hope these conversations can make a change. I mean, goodness, we talked about this a little over a month ago and hoping these conversations continue. Tyler, I'll let you go ahead and talk about how you're feeling.
Well, first of all, I really want to applaud the Milwaukee Bucks for boycotting Game 5 versus the Orlando Magic and really creating a domino effect for the rest of the NBA, the NBA and NBAPA mutually decided to postpone Wednesday's playoff games. And that's an unprecedented move in the aftermath of the Jacob Blake shooting in the Milwaukee suburb. And, you know, it's bigger than basketball and sports at this point. And, you know, we are fed up with systemic racism and police brutality. Players, athletes, and other like-minded individuals like myself are demanding change. And, you know, I saw, which is a good thing, and you already mentioned it, the Reds and the Brewers, they postponed their game tonight. But I can't stress it enough. It is, you know, I'm not going to get political, but I hope people go out and vote this year and vote for people who are about equality and justice for all and not just a certain group of people. And, you know, this, we're in a pandemic right now, a COVID-19 pandemic, but we're also in a racism pandemic that's been going on since 1619. So we really need to step back and have these important conversations with white, black, Hispanic, Asian, it doesn't matter, Native American, everyone, and just really have conversations, honest conversations about how we feel and how to create change, because it's just going to continue to happen if we don't have these honest, upfront conversations about, okay, why do you feel this way? Why do you react this way? Why do you treat people this way? And, you know, and even with police officers, why do you shoot a man 7 times in the back? And, you know, why do you knee on somebody's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds? Like that should not, things like that should not happen, but they have always happened in my lifetime, in all of our lifetimes. And, you know, people are fed up. I'm definitely fed up. And I applaud And I am so proud of the Bucks and all the NBA players for standing up and saying, you know what, we're not going to play tonight because it is bigger than basketball. It's bigger than playoff basketball. And, you know, I do want the NBA to continue playing down there in their bubble, if you will. I know they call it a campus, but people are calling it a bubble because their platform is much bigger there than it is if they were, you know, sitting at home. And they can amplify the situations that are going on right now. Like if anybody hasn't seen what Doc Rivers said this week about his thoughts and his dad being a cop and how he's, you know, sick and tired of, you know, seeing black men and women and other minorities getting killed and shot and hurt. I really encourage people to listen to what he said because it was really powerful. But yeah, it's, you know, we are living in a strange time right now and a very divisive time. And we need to have these conversations, no matter if it's the BBP or if it's, you know, at work or, you know, just private conversations amongst our friends and each other, because change is not going to happen unless we talk about it. And it is uncomfortable for some. It's not uncomfortable for me, but, you know, some people, they might be uncomfortable talking about this. But, you know, in order to make and create change, you have to first start the dialogue. And right now, we are currently in a social justice movement, and the dialogue is happening and is currently happening. However, unfortunately, we keep on seeing the same things happen again. And, you know, I'm just fed up, and a lot of other people are too.
I would just like to use this space to commend the Detroit Lions, who yesterday canceled practice to protest what's going on. We so rarely see the NFL being an early adapter to discussions like this. And that was a signal, I think, that this conversation is accelerating, increasing, and spreading throughout sports. And just lastly, I thought defensive end Trey Flowers from the Detroit Lions had a great point yesterday. He said, "We can't be silent. We can't stay silent. We cannot be going on in the world with our regular today, with our regular day. So today we stand unified here. And we came up with these words, these slogans, and we spread this message, spread the word." Hopefully that word continues to be spread across sports and across society.
Yeah, it's an important conversation to have. I mean, I told you guys off the air, we had other plans for this podcast today, and we're going to get to all the training camp news and the latest in the Bengals world in just a moment. But we couldn't record tonight and ignore what has happened in the last 24 hours. I mean, the Reds pitcher, Jesse Biddle, said today that Reds fans, we're going to play baseball tomorrow, but tonight we pray for Jacob Blake's family, reflect on the impact we all have on this world. And that's the most important thing. It's not one group. It's all of us. It's all of us coming together and realizing that obviously change needs to happen. These conversations need to happen. Even if they may be uncomfortable for people to admit, like maybe they didn't realize that, or maybe they're learning more. That stuff should have never stopped in this last month. And we hope for better days ahead, as always. And there's a little connection here because Carlos Dunlap, obviously we have players talk to us during the week. The Bengals are in training camp this week. They wrap it up on Sunday. Carlos Dunlap, when I think of a leader in the locker room, it's crazy to think that this guy's been here for 11 years. And when he talks, you listen. The Carlos Dunlap Foundation, good guy to have in the room, also a great player. He spoke out this week, and I actually wanted to play that clip and how he's reflecting on it and if he's seeing changes in Cincinnati.
There just needs to be a change, and we need the higher-ups to speak on change. You know, a little typed-up press release by Jeff Hobson doesn't do enough. It's not going to really create long-term change if they want to be a part of long-term change, which from first signs, doesn't seem as if that's the case.
Will this incident impact your activism along these lines, Carlos? Will this add to your need to speak out?
Well, I'm trying to handle it, you know, properly with in-house. And, you know, they've done a great job creating a committee and putting together a plan. You know, Elizabeth, she gets it. And she's been adamant about putting together a plan about getting the community and making a difference. But still, you know, we need everyone to get on board. And without everyone on board, it's just a, you know, a plan, a dream, or a temporary fix. It's not going to be a long-term solution as what's needed. And, yeah, we had the conversation, so they hear us. But what are you going to do? How are you going to affect your community? Because right now for football, with the platform that we have the ability to, within the locker room, we're in a melting pot. So you get to hear everyone's stories, hear how things are, where they're from. But then you have to do something in your community that affect long-term change so that you can touch more people. Because obviously, you know, if we all just get together and do something in Cincy, that's going to be something in Cincy. But we need to do something in our hometown that'll help create, you know, a web effect that'll have and touch more people and have more of a long-term thing. And, you know, education reform is if I had to take a platform, that's probably the one that I would stand on as what I've done with all my foundation. Education is the key for our future. And obviously, I feel like racism is taught.
So when you say everyone needs to be on board, are you referring to everybody within the franchise and the organization needs to be on board?
I would like for all the higher-ups, as you've seen with Nike, as you've seen with the commissioner, as you've seen with certain organizations, they made it well known where they stand with what's going on in America, and they acknowledge seeing what's going on in America is not right, and they want to be a part of the solution. So they not only spoke about it, they put, you know, action in place. And I think if everyone does that, that will have the long-term effect, because I don't think there's a bigger organization than, you know, the Bengals in this community that could have, I mean, obviously the Bengals, FC Cincy, and the Reds are the biggest, you know, guys in this community. So if you get them collectively to speak up about seeing what's going on and acknowledging that it's not okay and that they want to change, then I think change will happen. It'll have a ripple effect. But, you know, the people at, you know, the other levels, protesting, speaking out, demanding change, or doing whatever they're doing, at the end of the day, it's just going to be phased as you see right now. We're getting effects. Back home, to see that statue come down was, you know, a true game changer for, you know, me personally in my hometown, because, you know, what that statue stood for was not something that represents, you know, being great. And, yeah, I don't want to get into all the details, but that was great. That was a stride in the right direction. Now the focus is on long-term, how do we break the generational cycle of, you know, what's going on in America right now.
And Tyler, you were part of that press conference earlier in the week when we heard from Carlos Dunlap. What did you take away from some of his thoughts?
Yeah, I was really proud of him for, you know, speaking up and, you know, opening up about a real, you know, frustrating and quite frankly, traumatic experience for him. You know, he was experienced racism in Florida. He was, you know, profiled down there and by a park ranger. And he pretty much told he and his group to leave the premises while another group was there of, you know, Caucasian NFL players. And they pretty much told them to stay. And, you know, that it takes courage for someone to speak about that. So, you know, and I talked to him personally and I told him, you know, what he did was very good. And he also, you know, in that same press conference, called out the Bengals for not doing enough in this social justice movement. We know the Bengals donated money to the community as part of an initiative. I will never tell anybody to donate more money or to do, you know, more with their wallet. But Carlos, you know, wants the team and the owners, Mike Brown, to do more and be more involved in the community, and also the Reds and FC Cincinnati as well. So, yeah, what his words were, I was very proud of what he said, and it takes courage for anyone to speak out, especially your employer. And, you know, he wants to have a conversation with Mike Brown about what he experienced during the summer. And he wants to talk about how the organization can do more to promote, you know, social justice and equality for all.
I completely agree with that. And on top of that, Tyler, Carlos made a fascinating point. He said the Bengals are one of the biggest organizations in the entire Cincinnati community. There aren't too many bigger outlets than the Cincinnati Bengals in spreading a message like this. And, you know, following Carlos Dunlap's comments, he's very well aware that the Bengals were one of the last teams in the NFL to release a statement about the Black Lives Matter movement. And he said he wants to have that one-on-one conversation with Mike Brown, and he wants to help the Bengals move forward and figure out how to create a greater positive impact on the entire Cincinnati community.
And I think that's the biggest thing there, what you said, Charlie. He wants to help. He wants to sit down with Mike Brown so they can have that conversation, because that's what this is all about right now. Now, when we move forward and when these athletes are speaking up and using their platform, it's about these conversations that they can hopefully pave the way for a start and a change. I sound like a broken record because we just talked about all of this. And we're back here. We're back here again when you open your social media and somebody says this again, and you almost just automatically know what they're talking about. And that's what we're dealing with again. And I hope that these athletes continue to use their platform and speak up and we see change. But I credit Carlos Dunlap from hearing from him this week. And I appreciate you guys being honest about the topic. I know, like I mentioned before, we changed things up tonight. We're going to get to the training camp stuff here in a little bit, but we had to talk about what's going on in the sports world. And we hope, again, for better days ahead. And the Bengals are currently also dealing with some not so good news on the defensive side, and with Mackenzie Alexander. And Tyler, I'll let you fill in what's going on with Alexander right now.
Yeah, this story is still developing. Mackenzie Alexander's dad, unfortunately, is still missing. He's been missing since Monday after a man left him on a berry picking trip. Mackenzie Alexander left training camp on Tuesday to go help search for his father. And, you know, he ended up confronting the man who left his father on that trip and got an altercation. And the police ended up arresting the Bengals cornerback on a battery charge. He and another man who was with him, a high school football teammate, were set out on bond today on $2,000. So they have been released, and they are pretty much still searching for his missing father. His lawyer came out with a statement today, and, you know, I'll read it in part. It says, "My client's concern is only finding his father and the well-being of his father. He's super anxious just to continue the search, and that is why he is here. He is a loving and caring son, and he loves his father greatly and deeply. The first thing he is going to do is continuing the search." And that is what his lawyer said, who was representing him. And, you know, right now that is his only focus. It's a very sad situation. You know, I as, you know, someone who has a loving father, I can understand going down and trying to search for a dad and being mad at someone who left your father. So, you know, it's a very tough situation. You just, you know, extend your thoughts and prayers to Mackenzie Alexander and his family, and just hope for the best that his father can be found alive and healthy. And that's all you can do right now is just, you know, send your prayers up.
Tyler, you were part of a very important story today on Cincinnati.com, part of which underscored how deep that relationship is between Mackenzie Alexander and his father. His parents were on stage with Mackenzie when Alexander signed with Clemson. His parents were with him every time Alexander appeared at a local boys and girls club. It is a very, very important relationship. And the Bengals have today commented similar support for Mackenzie, specifically some teammates in the secondary. Today in a media availability, Jesse Bates said, "The whole game of football is something we do every day, but family is very important." The entire defensive back group texted Mackenzie in a group message. It seems like the Bengals and his teammates especially are supporting Mackenzie as much as possible.
Yeah, Charlie, and what you mentioned there, we did hear from Jesse Bates today, and he pretty much said it's a weird year for all of us. So the Bengals spent a lot of money this offseason. They bring in these free agents, and we really don't know the free agents. And we only know them mostly through Zoom interviews, and we don't know Mackenzie Alexander. And Jesse Bates said, this positive guy, always has a smile on his face, and you can really feel Mackenzie Alexander not at camp right now, and they definitely miss that, and they're all thinking about him. We're thinking about him. You hope, as of now, we're recording this on a Wednesday, we're hoping for some good news for Mackenzie Alexander and his family. Again, we'll have the latest over on Cincinnati.com, and we're going to keep with that story. But as of now, this looks like what it looks like in the Bengals room. You lose a guy like Trey Waynes due to injury. We don't know the timetable of Mackenzie Alexander when he's going to return to the team. Obviously, what he's dealing with is far more important than football. We talked to Lou Anarumo today, and he was just talking about some of the other guys who were stepping up just in the defensive room. You have to have some more depth. And when you look at it right now, Tyler, what does this mean for the Bengals on the defensive side?
Yeah, when the Bengals started training camp, they were hoping to have Trey Waynes at one cornerback position on the outside, William Jackson III at another outside cornerback position, and then Mackenzie Alexander starting there in the slot. And it's totally different now. You still have William Jackson out there, but you're going to be pretty much might be playing week one with two backup cornerbacks. Darius Phillips is most likely going to be an outside corner. There has been talk of him also maybe playing in the slot. We all know what he did last year, led the team in interceptions and few opportunities and snaps on the field. So the Bengals like what they have in him, and he is a promising cornerback. Winston Rose has also been getting some first team reps and their thin secondary during training camp. So I expect some nice things out of him and for coaches to continue to give him an opportunity for playing time. And then, you know, they have LaShawn Sims and Tony Brown. Cornerbacks are going to have to step up at the back end, the depth chart, especially, you know, Trey Waynes might be out for the entire year or definitely a majority of the year. And we don't know when Mackenzie Alexander is going to be back because he is handling much more important business right now and dealing with, you know, the whole situation down there in South Florida. So you don't know when he is going to be back. So it's the next man up mentality. And that starts with Darius Phillips. And I'm thinking of Winston Rose, who has also been getting, you know, some – first and second string reps at that cornerback position. So they have to, you know, rise up to the challenge. Darius Phillips did last year in limited opportunity. He's going to have a lot of opportunity this year because the Bengals have high expectations for him and they are throwing him out there. He's not going to be in just 108 defensive snaps this year because without Trey Wayne's in there. Darius Phillips is going to play, and he's going to play a lot.
So when the first nail or the first, you know, event happened and Trey Wayne's was out, many people, I think including us, were projecting Darius Phillips would fill in at outside corner. But now with another hit at corner, you wonder whether he might move inside now. You know, when he was drafted, that was the projection. Now, in college, Darius Phillips was an excellent outside cornerback who fared extremely well against several highly regarded NFL wide receivers who were then playing in the MAC. In addition to that, just like the Bengals completely redid their linebacker room this summer, they did that with their cornerback room as well. They even added a safety today. Just for example, Corey McIntyre was a guy who played a really big role in five games last year. Heading into training camp, he was expected to not make the team by a lot of people because of how many additions the Bengals made to their secondary. Now, you know, McIntyre might make the team since there are two pivotal corners out. But the Bengals still are arguably in a better place with their secondary now than they were at the end of last season since guys like Kirkpatrick and Denard were injured so often last year. And then one last thing is that Sean Williams is a guy who has dealt with his own injuries in training camp. But you wonder if the Bengals are now even more aggressive in finding ways to get him on the field since so much of the secondary is banged up.
That's to be determined on what the defensive room is going to look like. It's crazy to think we are almost 2 weeks away from that home opener. But I'll get to some good news for the Cincinnati Bengals right now. Zach Taylor told us just a day ago that A.J. Green would be back out there, and A.J. Green was back out there getting reps. What did you think of him out there today, Tyler?
I thought he looked pretty good. He practiced for the first time since, you know, suffering a minor hamstring injury on August 17th, and he was just there on a limited basis. He did not get involved with 11 on 11, but he did some individual drills, and in those drills, he looked good. He had a one-handed catch from Joe Burrow, and I thought that catch was the A.J. Green of old. Zach Taylor said that he envisions Green playing some in the scrimmage this Sunday, so we'll see. That will be the most action I've seen from A.J. Green since I became a NFL and Bengals reporter. So I'm looking forward to that myself. I think all the Bengals fans are looking forward to A.J. Green just being on the field and being healthy, because it's been a long time since Bengals fans have seen it. And Zach Taylor hasn't seen a snap, a live game snap from A.J. Green since he's been a head football coach. And, you know, he is really looking forward to having his best receiver out in the field.
For about 10 minutes in our last podcast, we discussed what a timeline could be for A.J. and when we might start getting concerned. He is ahead of our most conservative expectations for what it might look like. A.J. was out there today, which is quicker than I personally expected. It's definitely a step in the right direction, even though he was playing in a limited role. And it shows that the Bengals are not just putting him aside and saying, take as much time as you need and just show up for the start of the season. It shows that they're incorporating him into their preseason plan.
They had a minor scare out there at wide receiver. We were out at training camp today, and John Ross was getting looked at by the trainers for probably maybe 2 minutes because he awkwardly landed trying to get a ball. It looked like he just went right back out there, but he was kind of favoring his left arm, Tyler. Everything good with Ross?
Yeah, everything's good with him. His left arm got banged up a little bit, and he got looked at by the team's medical staff. But he came right back in and caught a few passes from Joe Burrow towards the end of practice. So it was just, you know, a minor, you know, arm injury, probably just a scrape. He got something taped up. You know, we're far away on a platform at the very back of the end zone, so it's hard to see. He was at the way on the other side of the field. But from what we can see, it looked just like a minor arm injury that the trainers took care of, and he got back in the field. So no concern at all with John Ross. And, you know, the Bengals want to see him healthy and play a full season, something that he hasn't done since being drafted.
And we heard from John Ross earlier this week. He was very upfront with us that he needs to prove himself and that he can stay healthy. Obviously, you don't want too many moments like this, but today's just, you know, an example of him overcoming what looked like something that raised a little concern at first. He overcame that, and he ended up having a productive day.
I want to stay with injuries right now, though. Carlos Dunlap, Geno Atkins, Joe Mixon out for another day. What's going on with that? Is there any concern with some of these starters sitting out when we're 2 weeks away from that opener?
The Joe Mixon situation is complex. I'll say that it's a minor injury that they're calling it. He sent some cryptic tweets on Twitter, and, you know, I'll say I know he's not happy with his current contract situation. I've said that all season. And he's not thrilled about not having a contract extension. And he wants to be paid like one of the best running backs in the league. And right now he's not. The Bengals, you know, utilize him, and he's a key player on the team. Back-to-back 1,000-yard rusher, and he's going to be an integral part of the team, as we all know. And so he wants to be treated like that from the Bengals organization with the money that they give him. And right now they're not. But he does have a minor ailment, but there is also a bigger story in that where he wants – a long-term contract as well.
Tyler, I can't do complicated right now. So this contractor is an injury. Go ahead and tell me.
I'll just say the Bengals are saying it's an injury right now, and Joe Mixon does not want to talk about the contract situation right now. So I'll just say it's the Bengals. I'll go with the company line since the Bengals are saying it's an injury.
We're not missing storylines with this team.
You can read between those lines if you want to.
Well, that's what Joe Mixon tweeted, and he's been doing that for a while now with his cryptic tweets. So everyone, honestly, when I hear, is this more of a concern, again, about 2 weeks away from the opener, I'm just going with what we know and what we're hearing is minor injury, but Tyler has a little more inside stuff there. But when it comes to the other starters, Lawson's on the sideline. Carlos Dunlap not out there. Geno Atkins not out there. Are those vet days off, or is his injury a little more than we think?
Those are just minor injuries with Carlos Dunlap and Lawson. Geno Atkins was given a personal day. Ryan Finley was out with an illness. Michael Jordan missed practice because of the birth of his son on Tuesday. So there were a lot of key players not practicing today, but it's no concern. I would not be concerned if I was a Bengals fan. Zach Taylor has also expressed that he's not concerned at all. So week one is still a few weeks away, and I expect Joe Mixon, Carlos Dunlap, Geno Atkins, and all the key players to be out there in the lineup and available for week one, including AJ Green as well.
And you look at what the Bengals have done during training camp. They have kept the roster stacked with 80 for most of camp for about as many players as they can possibly hold. And that's because things like this come up. You know, you mentioned, Lindsay, some defensive linemen that were dealing, you know, with different reasons for not practicing. Well, the Bengals have added Bryce Stark and Amani Bledsoe in the past week. They added another safety today. They added a center earlier this week. I forgot to mention they also added a defensive tackle recently. So the Bengals, you know, clearly have a plan for what they need to accomplish during training camp. And they are keeping the roster very well stocked for where we are on August 26th.
We'll go to the offensive line right now, because when I get training camp questions, everyone wants to know, what does Fred Johnson look like? Is he getting some first team snaps? For the most part, it's been Bobby Hart out there. Not saying he's winning many of those battles, but for the most part, Bobby Hart's there. At this point in time, Tyler, that week one offensive line, Bobby Hart's going to get the start?
First of all, what you said is hilarious. You don't think he's winning any of those battles? So what are you trying to say, Lindsay?
I'm just here to say that sometimes when you're going up against someone, you don't always win. And I've started to notice from my week of training camp this week, being present, that he wasn't winning all of the time when he was against the defensive side. That's how I'll put it. He was
optimistic Lindsay.
And you have a guy like Fred Johnson win the whole entire offseason, pretty much since the last game of 2019 ended. Everyone's like, Fred Johnson, put Fred Johnson out there, put anyone out there. Well, as of now, Bobby Hart's been getting the first team snaps. Are you seeing any upgrade with him, or Fred Johnson kind of just a little bit far behind?
You are right. Bobby Hart has taken all of the first team reps at right tackle, and he's been beat multiple times during training camp. But I will say this, he is having a better training camp than Fred Johnson right now. Fred Johnson is still raw as a tackle. You can see it in his form, and his, you know, his technique is a little off sometimes, and it gets broken down a little bit too often. And he's just not ready to be a starting right tackle yet. Not saying he can't get there, because the potential is there. He has the physique, and he has the athleticism, but his technique still needs work. He's very raw as a tackle right now. But the potential is there. However, right now, I know Bengals fans don't like to hear this, but Bobby Hart is the better and more polished right tackle at this moment.
The Bengals have prioritized flexibility across their offensive line. As you mentioned, Tyler, Bobby Hart has been the winner of training camp so far. The Bengals have used Fred Johnson at guard. They've used Hakeem Adeniji at different spots. They've rotated Billy Price between guard and center. And the Bengals signed a center this week, presumably to allow Billy Price to continue to experiment at guard. So that shows that it is a priority to not logjam these reserve offensive linemen in one spot in particular. It also signals to me personally that Fred Johnson is seen more as a rotational piece instead of someone who is there banking on to start in week one.
And we have to give our weekly Joe Burrow update right now, because the beginning of training camp, I felt like on Wednesday, he struggled a little bit. But what's so amazing about Joe Burrow on the days that he struggles, he always finds a way to bounce back before the end of the camp day. And I noticed that from him today. What did you take away from Burrow over the last couple of days?
Well, today he was pretty good. He was 13 of 19. Passing in 11 and 11 drills. And he is accurate when, you know, from 15 yards and within. He likes to hit Tyler Boyd and Auden Tate. Those are his two favorite receivers. You know, and Mike Thomas has caught a few passes. Down the field throwing, he still struggles a little bit. He's been inaccurate downfield. But, you know, overall, I've liked what I've seen from him. You know, he has command in the pocket. He, you know, extends plays with his feet. He gets outside the numbers and delivers passes. And, you know, he's a very smart football player, especially for being a rookie. And, you know, the coaching staff has all complimented him and his progress, so as his teammates. So overall, he looks like the most NFL ready quarterback that was in this year's draft, and he's playing like it. It's not perfect. There are some balls in the ground. He has thrown interceptions, very few, and the deep ball is still a concern. You know, some his arm strength, I'm going to be looking at that, especially in Sunday's scrimmage. But overall, he has been as advertised, and he has performed like the best rookie quarterback in this year's draft class.
It's funny you mentioned that, Tyler, because earlier this week I was reading some quotes about Justin Herbert from a San Diego Chargers media, Los Angeles Chargers.
Got to do push-ups for that? Nah.
Media availability. And there is a very specific tone with Justin Herbert. They're saying, you know, we love him, but he's not quite there. And he's going to do great things in this league, but there are still things we need him to work on. Joe Burrow, on the other hand, you know, good luck getting a Bengals player or coach to say anything that doesn't make it seem like Joe Burrow doesn't have full command of offensive players, gaining full command of the scheme, and improving even in a brief training camp. You know, every single offensive player we've heard from so far has said that they're surprised by how easy it's been connecting with Joe Burrow. He clearly has that something, that talent and that leadership quality that makes him unique in this draft, that makes him you know, handled so differently from some of the other rookie quarterbacks we're seeing across the NFL.
Prime time scrimmage for the Cincinnati Bengals before they wrap up training camp and get ready for regular season. Besides Joe Burrow, who are we looking at in the scrimmage, Tyler?
Well, if AJ Green plays, all eyes are going to be on him, most definitely. I also want to see on the defensive side how Darius Phillips and Winston Rose and LaShawn Sims perform in a thin secondary. The Bengals are prioritizing running the football. Hopefully, Joe Mixon plays in the scrimmage. I want to see how he's looking. He'll get a limited opportunity, of course. Also, you know, Auden Tate, he's had an exceptional training camp. And, you know, I want to see if that continues. But overall, besides what I've already said, you know, the offense beat the defense in the last scrimmage. So I want to see how this defense can bounce back and maybe beat the offense, even though they're a little bit undermanned. Because we all know the Bengals defense struggled last year with stopping the run, and they weren't very good against the pass either. So I want to see this defense step up and, you know, bounce back after losing in the first scrimmage.
Tyler definitely hit on the biggest ones. Clearly, AJ Green and whatever movement he makes will be the biggest story at this scrimmage this weekend. And cornerbacks are very interesting to watch as well. But just hit on some deeper cuts. Obviously, Jake Dillagala became the star of the preseason last year. This is the replacement we have for preseason games. And I think considering how Ryan Finley has looked this preseason, it's reasonable to think that Dillagala might have a chance to boost himself up the depth chart with an especially impressive performance this weekend. Running back as well, Jacques Patrick was terrific during the first scrimmage. Can he prove that he is one of the best three running backs on the Bengals? And then lastly, Drew Sample is another player who is in a heated position battle, who has a lot to prove as a pass catcher, who has shown that he can be a solid blocker. I'm interested to see the different ways the Bengals use him this weekend.
It's funny you said Jake Dillagala, because he had an opportunity in Wednesday's practice to really, you know, impress the coaching staff with Ryan Finley out with an illness. And he really struggled today, threw some interceptions, had a lot of incomplete passes, and really looked like he was overwhelmed going up against, you know, the second unit defense and sometimes a mismatch of the first unit and the second unit as well. So he did not take advantage of, you know, Ryan Finley's absence in today's practice. So right now he is firmly at that number three spot, and Ryan Finley is the second string quarterback right now. But he still has time to make up some ground, but right now he's clearly the number three quarterback.
Back at training camp tomorrow, the rest of the week, the Bengals are off on Saturday, and that night scrimmage is Sunday night. What's up on Cincinnati.com, guys?
Well, obviously, the latest on Mackenzie Alexander is up. I have a few notebooks as well about this week's practice. AJ Green, the latest on him as well. And Charlie, I know you have a story up on Cincinnati.com.
The Bengals have four rookie linebackers this season. It's one of the biggest youth infusions they've had at the position this decade. And I had a story on what to look for with those rookie linebackers and specifically how they've bonded and tried to take advantage of this Zoom period to get ready to play, which they'll have the opportunity to do.
Stay with us on Cincinnati.com. As I mentioned, we'll get back to training camp, wrap it up. Thanks for joining us again on the Bengals Beat Podcast.